Before we start, welcome to Rock Church Petersburg.
Amen.
Bless and continue to keep the pastors in prayer.
Amen.
Believing that they'll both be here on Resurrection Sunday,
right,
and that their health fully restored.
Yeah.
Celebrating the risen Christ with their church family. Amen. So, a Category 5 hurricane is coming bearing down, and you shout to the Lord for it to veer from the projected path. The doctor gives you a negative medical report, and you call out the name of Jesus to restore your health. The town you live in is under civil unrest, and you pray to the Father for an army of angels to come down and surround your home and everyone in it from any danger. And I could go on. I'm sure everybody here could go on and share some other experiences like that. As children of the Most High God, we've been delegated that authority through Jesus.
Yeah.
So Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's powerful. And it deserves an amen. I mean,
amen.
You know,
amen.
Jesus, we heard it in the song, the Passion of God. You know, just call out the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as we continue to celebrate Holy Week and prepare for Resurrection Sunday, I'd like to share the kingdom authority Jesus has given us through God the Father, all on earth. And then Jesus delegated that authority to his disciples. And believe it or not, it's still available today, each one of us,
right,
as believers. So, Father, I just want to step out of the way and allow your Holy Spirit to guide me. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be Holy Spirit led. And I pray, Lord, that everybody here hears that word, and to include myself. Amen. So, the title of today's lesson is Kingdom Authority. So, as Christians, born again Christians, we're all members of God's army, right?
Right.
Amen.
Who's the general? God's the general.
Right.
What are we? We're the privates. I know we have a lot of military folks here, and a lot of military folks that aren't here, but are normally here on a regular service. So they understand the difference between being a general up here and being a private, okay? So, if we put all of our faith and our trust in God, who's our general, what can go wrong? I mean, we have to believe that the general has been risen or lifted up to that level in the military, because he's proven himself. He's got character. He knows how to lead. So just think if God was like that from a spiritual standpoint, how much more can we believe in God, our spiritual Father? So with that said, he does make available all the tools and all the power to us, his privates, who's his army. So, a couple years ago, there was a movie that came out. It was named 1917. And there was a movie about World War I. And the scene comes up as these two young corporals. And they're called in by the highest ranking officer that was in the field. And he tells them that he wants to send them on a mission. And they accept the challenge. The mission was to go to the front line where the troops were going to do a full assault the next morning. And so the corporals take off. Well, halfway through the mission, one of the corporals gets killed. The second corporal continues on. He gets to the front line, and he finds out where the commander of the forces were. He fights his way into the bunker because he's such a low-ranking enlisted person. that they didn't want to let him in. Finally, he gets in, and he tells the commander that they have to stand down because all the information he had was false. And the commander looks at him like, "You're the only corporal. I'm not going to listen to you. Get out." So he's persistent because he believed in his mission, and he had orders from his general to deliver the message. So he didn't leave the bunker. And he tells the commanding officer again, "Gotta believe it. You can't send all of these troops over the berm on the assault. They're going to get wiped out. The information you had, the intelligence you had, was false." And he produces a letter from the general. When the commanding officer reads the letter, his whole attitude changed, and he agreed to stand down. So, just like that example, that's how we are from a spiritual standpoint. We have the power of attorney, if you will, from the Lord. And he is allowing us the same power that he had given Jesus while he was on earth to execute and operate in kingdom authority. I mean, I think that's, you know, when you think about it, it's hard to even fathom that we have that kind of power as soldiers in God's army. But we do. And we can't allow it to be taken from us. And we know who would be willing to take it from us, from every one of us. That's the devil, great deceiver. We can't allow that to happen. So I'd like to share three things regarding kingdom authority. First of all, we're going to take a look at the definition of authority. It comes from the Greek word, and it's pronounced exousia, meaning ruling power, having the right to do something, or the capability to complete an action. So, three things. Number one, all authority begins with God. Can we agree to that?
Amen.
Amen. In Revelation 4:11, John writes, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." God established the principle of authority to help this nation. Can you imagine if we didn't have authority on this earth? Some of us may think we don't have it now. And in some situations, we may not. But bottom line is, God created it all. And we have to hold on to that and believe that through our faith. Be encouraged that God's in full control. And he's allowing certain things to happen. And this is my belief, my opinion. And he's allowing it to happen to bring those into the kingdom. To give them the opportunity to turn their face toward him instead of toward the world. You know, it's interesting. The world approaches us in so many ways. Television, radio, print, social media. It's just unbelievable how we're bombarded by the world every day. And hey, I'm a firm believer that we can use all of that in a good way to promote the Lord and to encourage people to seek his face. But, you know, people are enticed by money. And marketing companies go the other way. You know, so it's really up to us, who are the privates in God's army, to stand up and defend his word every opportunity we get and be his mouthpiece. And that's what we're here for as born-again Christians. So be encouraged that God's in full control and he's allowing certain people or certain things to occur because he's a loving God. He loves us all. And he wants to see us all have that opportunity to come into his kingdom. The second one is our source of kingdom authority. And who is that through? Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus tells his disciples, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" To the very end of the age. That tells me that he didn't stop back in the days when the disciples were walking the earth.
Right.
He's telling us that everything he just said in those two verses are available to every one of us until he comes back.
Right.
Amen. So don't let anybody tell you that it's not available. His kingdom of glory is visible to each one of us. And to me, that's exciting. May not sound like it's exciting because, like Brother Brown said, I'm bored from New Orleans. I got a draw, and I'll always say this kind of tone of voice. But the Lord knows my heart.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing.
Amen.
You know, so just keep living and pushing and pressing in. And I believe that he's going to expose more things to you, more things to me, and show us his power and his love. That we can go out and share with others.
Amen.
And he regained his authority from Satan through the cross. We're talking about Jesus here. You know, well, first of all, Jesus came in his flesh to experience what we experience. He didn't sin, but he came in the flesh. And he walked with her for a little over 30 years. He came to save us from eternal death, but also freely give us the same authority God the Father gave him. I mean, that's exciting. So man lost his authority in the garden. And we all know the story about the fall of man in the garden. So Jesus had to come to him as a man to regain it. God knew it was going to happen. He's already laid out. So Hebrews 2:14 says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, and that is the devil." Keep in mind, the battle's won. We're in the middle of Holy Week. This Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. The battle's won. The devil knows he's lost. But he's not stupid. He's smart. And he's going to do everything he can to deceive us, whether we're saved or not. And that's his job. And he's going to do that until Christ returns. So we have to be on guard. We have to resist. 1 Corinthians 15:27 pretty much sums it up. "For he has put everything under his feet." Now when it says that everything has been put under his feet, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. I mean, God is God. He spoke, and everything was created. So he put everything under his feet, which includes the devil. Jesus went down into Hades, and he took the keys. I believe Brother O'Neill spoke about that last Wednesday. He took the keys, and he has the keys to eternity. The devil doesn't have any more control. So, hallelujah to that. So let's move on, and let's talk about submission. This is a hard one. I mean, it's so hard, just for the definition of authority on one page, for the definition or for the explanation of submission at 3 pages. You know, everybody has a different understanding of submission. And so I just want to touch on 3 things. First of all, we were created to live under God's authority.
Right.
I mean, that's what he did. He created us to live under his authority. Romans 13 begins with, "Let every person be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. So think about that. I mean, we're talking about civil authority. We're talking about authority in the home. We're talking about authority in the church. God put them all in there. Now, we may not believe in the individuals that are in authority. Even in our homes, we have, I know some of us came from broken homes. But God put them there for a reason. We have to honor that authority. I'm not saying, and we'll get into this in the next point, but we have to honor that authority. Can't speak out against them. If anything, we need to pray for those individuals. We need to keep them lifted up in front of the Lord and just believe that if they're not following the Lord, that they will turn their face to Him. Save the same God. If we don't live under His authority, we sin. That's bottom line. We sin. And we're not living in pursuit of what God has intended for us. And that's to live an abundant life. Yeah. I think all of us in this past year, year and a half since COVID, I think we're all taking a different approach to life. I talked to a friend today. She lost her younger sister to COVID. You hear about this every day. It was kind of like during the Persian Gulf War in 1990. I think everybody in the United States knew somebody that was participating in that war. I think COVID's almost like that. We all know somebody that's been affected by it. They may not have died. I've got a cousin in New Orleans who spent 6 weeks in the hospital. He was delusional. He was on a ventilator. After he got out of the hospital, he spent 2 weeks in rehab. Younger than me. I mean, we're all being impacted by it. Some of us may not believe it as strongly as others. We all just have to go to the Lord and present our case to the Lord. And allow the Lord to work in our hearts and keep our hearts soft and lively, if you will. There's a lot more going on in this world than COVID. We all know what it is. I'm not going to go down that road. But the bottom line is, we have to live under His authority. Nobody has sin. I mean, it's just that simple. In the garden, Adam and Eve stepped away from God's authority, and man's had to deal with it ever since. Thank God for Jesus Christ coming to earth and being our sacrifice and sacrificing His own life. All of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And once again, thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. If he would have come 2,000 years ago, and we think we have it bad now, who knows what kind of life would be living, if we would even be here. So, once again, thank you for the Lord's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the second, we're mandated to obey God rather than man. I thought about that for a while, and I got to thinking, I'm not saying to be a rebel or a renegade or a lone ranger. That's not the point. However, if we see that man is leading us down the wrong path, or putting us in a compromising situation that we know doesn't align with the Word of God, that's when we would take a stand. Go to Scripture and approach the individual or the individuals, however that situation may be, and support the position with Scripture. I mean, it's that simple. We can't allow our testimony to be compromised. So we are mandated to obey God. He created us under His likeness, and He's got control over everything. So, Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. And I'm sure all of us are old enough that have been in situations where we've seen both. Just keep that in mind that, as long as we understand who our general is and where we fall in that hierarchy, we're going to be good. But we can't allow ourselves to be deceived. And third, the Bible is the Word of God and the absolute authority. Our pastor has talked about absolute numerous times in the cult. And we're fighting that every day. We just are. But we have to hold on to the fact that the Word is absolute, and it's our absolute authority. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 says, all Scripture, that's some Scripture, not one chapter and one book, but all, I believe, it's 56 books in the Bible. 66. They're all true. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be added. Man of God, that's us, men and women, equipped for every good work. Not some good works, but every good work. That's our responsibility as born-again Christians, to serve the Lord and use our testimony. What stronger word can we have to share with somebody who's seeking the Lord than our own testimony? First of all, they're going to see the joy in our heart. They're going to see it in our eyes. They're going to have some kind of knowledge of who you are, where you come from. In your testimony, that's what you can stand on. And nobody else has a testimony like us, like each of us. So hold on to that. I'm sure we've all heard the acronym for the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. It's all the same. It's all the guidance that we need, really. It's similar to those of you that were in the military. I'm sure there's a number of guidebooks that you were given, and you were instructed to follow those guidelines. Whether you were in the field, in battle, in an office building, you had those guidelines to follow. I mean, think about it. We have the Bible, the most read book in the world. The Bible is our instruction book. And it doesn't change. I don't know how often military books and guidance have changed over the years. I just heard somebody say all the time. But the Bible doesn't change. And, we just have to believe that and hold on to it, believe every word in it is true, and it's going to guide us through our life. It is our God. And it's filling the purpose, we're to fill the purposes of God. And that's what we've created for. So, one of the strongest verses in the Bible in my life about submitting to authority is about the Roman centurion. And I'm sure everybody's heard it. Jesus is coming into Capernaum. He's going to be speaking at one of the synagogues. The centurion hears that he's coming. He tracks him down. And he approaches Jesus. And he tells Jesus that his servant is paralyzed and suffering. And in Matthew 8:9, it's pretty quick story. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I said to my servant, do this, and he does it. So this centurion, he was a Roman citizen. He understood what authority meant. Yeah. And we have to have that same understanding of the authority that Christ has, and that he had when he walked the earth. Now he sits at the right hand of the Lord in the kingdom of God. We all have that authority. We can all grasp that authority. I mean, you step back, it's mind-boggling, really, that we, mere human beings, have the same authority Jesus Christ had. It just is so big and broad that it's, like I said, it's mind-boggling. And you just have to keep going back to the Word, going back to the Word, and believing that as you grow closer to the Lord, you're going to be able to recognize that authority in you.
Yeah.
And you can use that authority to bring other people into the kingdom.
Right.
Because like I said, once again, that's what we're created to do. So it's clear that to have authority, you must be under authority. The centurion understood this concept. Do we? I mean, let me repeat that. It's clear that to have authority, you have to come under authority. And it's sad that I believe a lot of people in the world today don't want to be under authority. They want to do their own thing, their own time. And I'm talking about people in church, too. So we have to submit. And I just pray that each of us recognize that and search deep in our own spirits and let the Lord expose those areas in our life that we need to surrender. Third is to take authority. Like I said earlier, as born-again believers, we're to take authority. We're given that opportunity. So, first, in Jesus' name, we heard it in one of the songs today. You know, when you cry out to the Lord, first thing I do is cry out, Jesus. It's amazing what those five letters can do in a person's soul, in their spirit. The name of Jesus is powerful and commands respect. His name gives us access to all things in the kingdom. And think about that. All things in the kingdom. We're not even going to know how much was available until we're standing before him. And we're going to probably say, oh, that was available. Didn't know it. You know, there's so much that's available. So, here's a story in Acts chapter 16. Paul was ministering in one of the towns. And this female fortune teller was just following behind him and just continued to haggle for days. So finally Paul gets fed up with it. In Acts 16, verse 8, he says, and this is Paul speaking, she kept this up for many days. And finally Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. That's all he said. He didn't go into some long, drawn-out prayer. He just called in Jesus' name for that Spirit to come out of her. And it was gone. I'm sure most of us know who Kenneth Hagin is. Well-known preacher. In one of his messages, he mentions the book, Ever-Increasing Faith, written by Smith Wigglesworth. And I know we know who he was. One of the biggest revivals in the 20th century. So, in the book, Wigglesworth writes that he traveled to Wales to pray for a man named Lazarus. This man had tuberculosis. He had worked in mines over there all his life, and he came down with tuberculosis from it. And he was extremely bitter. And people prayed for him, but there were no results. So Wigglesworth went to pray. And at first, the guy, Lazarus, refused to hear prayer. Wigglesworth convinced him and prayed for him. But like I said, the man was bitter. He wasn't willing to receive. How many people today, born again and not born again, are working with bitterness in their life? They have to be able to let that go. So Wigglesworth goes down, I guess it was a two-story house. Anyway, Wigglesworth goes down on the first floor, and he grabs seven other people. Now, I'm assuming those people were there because they had been keeping this man in prayer as well. So they all go upstairs, and they form a circle around the bed. They all hold hands together, along with Lazarus is two hands. And they whisper one word, Jesus. That's all they said. And they kept repeating, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In the book, Wigglesworth says that five times the power of the Lord came down. But five times it left. On the sixth time, it didn't leave. And they continued to whisper, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Wigglesworth says, he told the seven people, go away. And he says, this is all God, and I'm not going to mess with you. We'll let God do the rest. So, in just a few minutes, this guy who had been bedridden for 60 years gets out of bed, gets dressed, and goes downstairs. I mean, we read about these accounts in the Bible. Amen? And that's just proof, one example of thousands. But God's still working miracles today. Amen? So, let nobody tell you that God's not a miracle working business today. He is. It's faith. So, in his book, he closes in this story that he tells us in the book, Lazarus' testimony spread quickly, and God brought many to salvation. Notice he said, God brought many to salvation. It was through Wiggles' work and those people that God did his work in this man. Now, so, prayer doesn't have to be long. Going out. You know, it's all a heart thing in faith. Faith in the name of Jesus can break any stronghold. I'm a testimony of that. Believe, Christ delivered me from a life that obviously it wasn't good. And I'm thankful for that. So Lazarus had to do the same thing. He had to get rid of that bitterness, that bitter root that was holding him back. And he repented. You know, you have to repent. You have to turn that over to the Lord. Next is begin to exercise the kingdom authority that God has given you. Galatians 2:16 tells us that we are justified by faith. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. Hebrews chapter 11, a lot of people call that the faith chapter. And he names numerous saints from the Old Testament. And behind each saint's name, there's two words, by faith. And then after that, there's an action word. And that tells me that those saints had faith, and then they took action. They exercised their faith. We have to do the same thing. We can't sit on the couch and allow the Lord to bless us. We have to exercise that faith. Amen? Amen. And you know, I'm just going to say it because this is me. Right now, I feel that too many people are relying on man to provide for them through whatever. And we have to go back to the Word and recognize that the Lord is going to provide for us. But we can't just sit still and allow man to keep giving to us. We have to get out there and speak the word of the Lord and act. And I truly believe that the Lord is going to bless you if you do that. And you're going to be a testimony that man isn't has his place, but the Lord is the ruler over everything. Luke 12:32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's willing to give us the kingdom. All we have to do is ask. Ask with the right heart and the right spirit, and definitely in faith. There's no limit with God on what we can receive from Him. He takes pleasure in giving us all things. However, this isn't just going to fall down our laps like I said. We have to exercise it, and we have to be obedient. So, the last in taking authority is to take dominion. And we talked about taking authority in Jesus' name and exercising the kingdom authority given to us by God. Let's take them in. As early as chapter 1, verse 26 in Genesis, and I'm not going to read it, but we know that God gave dominion over everything to Adam. Everything. And what happened? He stepped away from God and he lost that. But like I said earlier, thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ coming to earth and taking that eternal sin away for those who trust him and believe in him and accept him into their life as a personal Lord and Savior. In Mark 11, verse 22 through 25, Jesus tells us, have faith in God. And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You have to believe. In verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Let me repeat that again, because it's in the Word. I didn't make that up. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. In my position, I believe that if you're holding something back, the Lord's not going to hear that cry. Yeah. And then the next thing you're going to believe, well, God didn't listen. Or, you know, I don't need to pray to God. He's not answering my prayer. We really need to take a step back and search ourselves and recognize where we have sinned. I can tell you right now, there's a place in my life God still needs to give up. There's numerous places, I'm sure. In each one of us sitting in here, have to search themselves and recognize that and bring it to the cross and allow God, Jesus Christ, to take it. And that's going to bring us closer to the Lord. So, as I close, there's one slide that I'd like to share. And this is something that Pastor mentioned a few weeks, maybe a month or so ago. Looking at the keyboard and the guitar and believing that the Lord's sending somebody. I personally believe that the Lord's already got them in and they're on their way. I know, and we all know, we've been in church long enough, that with a full band and a larger praise team, that brings people in. But the Lord's been good to us so far. And continue to bring visitors in every week, even during COVID. But let's walk away with anything tonight, and as a body of Rock Church of Petersburg, let's put this on our prayer list and envision musicians and more individuals for the choir coming in through those doors. And not just coming in to be a musician or coming in to be a singer, but someone that's going to come in and believe the vision for this house, and they're going to be a part of the body of Christ in the Rock Church of Petersburg. Amen. So let's recap. Number one, we're to understand where the kingdom authority comes from. Number two, we're to submit to authority. Number three, we're to take authority. I mean, that's exciting. And I'm excited just putting this lesson together. I believe has brought me one step closer to the Lord and recognize that what is truly available to each one of us. So let's operate the position of having dominion that God intended from the beginning. He gave dominion to Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. He's given that dominion to us, those of us that believe and surrender to him. So let's give a loud shout to the Lord. Thank you for coming out tonight, and I pray that you're going to return on Sunday. As Brother Brown said, invite someone. And let's get more people in the pews, even with safe distancing. We can put 300 people in the sanctuary easily. Amen.